Brenda says, do you have skills or strategies to offer when your equanimity is knocked off center, particularly when people are being aggressive and threatening toward you? So this has come up a few times. I know someone asked about this at the first Spiritual Survival Skills workshop too. So this is something that probably all of us on a spiritual path have to grapple with at times, right? If we're on a spiritual path, in one form or another, we are probably trying to live our life with some equanimity, aren't we? We're probably trying to be a person who is centered, steady, present, and not inconsistent. You know, we're striving to be consistent. That's another way to talk about the sort of outward face of equanimity. You know, the inward face of equanimity is that inwardly we're steady. We're like I gave the metaphor of like we're a boulder in a stream bed. And even if violent floodwaters come down, you know, ravaging everything and reshaping the stream bottom, this big boulder doesn't budge, it doesn't move, it's not affected because it's got so much mass and weight. And an awakened being, a spiritually awakened person, has a similar kind of weight and mass and depth. There's a way that we are profoundly anchored in something that is deeper than all the ups and downs going on the surface. It's heavier than everything swirling around it. And so no matter what happens, we don't move, we don't budge. So this is the potential of spiritual awakening, but and all of us to some degree are probably trying to find our way there. But as Brenda was saying, you know, what happens when, you know, and it could be different. Her case was when people are being aggressive and threatening toward us. That's one of the times that might most disturb our equanimity, right? When we feel our safety is at risk. So there are I'm going to just share a couple of perspectives on equanimity that you can try to work with and practice. Because again, this equanimity that we see as a spiritual quality, often we kind of imagine that it's a kind of being removed from life. It's a bit of being detached, as I said before. And we think of the Buddha sitting under the Bodhi tree, and you know, the demon Mara is tempting the Buddha with all manner of worldly things and trying to scare him, trying to appeal to his lust, to his greed, et cetera, et cetera. And he just sits there unmoving. And we look at that, you know, myth, that image, that archetype, and we think, oh, he must be so distant from the things of the world that nothing touches him. He's so detached from all worldly things. The kind of equanimity I'm pointing to and inviting us to consider isn't one where we're distant and detached. So I gave one example of being like a boulder where we've discovered so much, we have so much weight and mass and kind of solidity. We've discovered something so solid and weighty in ourselves that it doesn't get blown off course, you know, by powerful winds and storms. Another metaphor is like the ocean, where the surface of the ocean is often very stormy and whipped up, and there are waves and chop and swirling seas. But down in the depths of the ocean, there's just profound stillness, calm, that is unperturbed by what's happening on the surface. So So two things I want to invite you to do. So one is in I want to invite you to try a meditation practice, and you can do this on your own. I'll just give you a minute, you know, a brief minute of it here. The meditation practice is that you sit still, and in physically you don't move, so your body is still, but inwardly you are also still. Inwardly, you don't move no matter what happens. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't thoughts. It doesn't mean there aren't feelings. There might even be intense feelings, chaotic thoughts, monkey mind, as they say in some of the traditions. But can you sit still and not react to the ups and downs of your own emotional life? Can you sit still and not react to the chaos of your monkey mind? Can you just sit there not moving? Not moving outwardly, not moving inwardly. Not getting involved with the content of the mind. Not being in reaction to the content of your emotions. Not trying to change anything at all. Just deeply still, letting everything be. So that brief practice is something you can sit for 20 minutes a day, 30 minutes a day, and just do that practice. Now, I always teach that it begins with the meditation practice, because meditation is a very controlled environment in a positive sense, meaning it's a very contained environment. You can sit still in meditation and do nothing and react to nothing, and there's no problem with that. Nothing, there's no demand for you to do anything when you're meditating. So you can just be like that. Now, so we begin with the meditation. And if we do this consistently, we start to find, oh, there's a part of me that never moves. There's a dimension of consciousness, of my own consciousness and being, that has never moved, that never was being thrown around by the chaos of life. It's always been still, always been deep like the ocean. And then the experiments in awakened living come. And in relation to this quality, the experiment in awakened living looks like, how can I live my life engaged, active, interacting with others, problem solving, doing creative work, whatever we do, how can I fully engage without losing touch with this deep, still center that never moves? What does life look like when it's flowing out of that depth? What's the experience of life when I'm living from that depth? And so, we begin experimenting with it. And for each of us, it's our own experiment. I mean, I certainly, in my programs, I create lots of practice guides, and I give out lots of detailed experiments that are beyond the level of, you know, level of detail I'm not going to give out here because of the nature of this, but I'm trying to instill in you the spirit of adventure, of exploration, of experimentation that really is what makes the difference. So we're practicing at meditation, and we're not trying. Here's the trick, though, here's the important thing to remember. We're not trying to hold on to a meditative state of consciousness in our daily life. We're not trying to stay, you know, in this deep, still, unmoving, unreactive, equanimous, calm as we engage with the world. Why? I mean, you've probably heard spiritual teachers say that is what the goal. You are trying to keep meditation going through the day. But we're not. And why? Because daily life, engaged life, demands something completely different than meditation. It demands action, engaged action. So we're not trying to hold on to meditative awareness, but we are experimenting with how do I stay rooted in this depth even as I engage in the world. And we can observe and see, oh, look where I, when we see ourselves react and get lost and, you know, lose our equanimity, as you said, then we can look. The other part of practice is then we inquire and we say, oh, clearly I lost my equanimity when that person threatened me and challenged me. Why? Nothing really changed. My center, my essence is still infinitely deep. It's still untouched. So why am I losing touch with that? And then we explore and you look, and that deepens your inquiry and your practice. So anyway, there are some pointers around how to make a practice out of this that can begin to have a real impact. Thank you.